City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are, and glad you are here. I'm here. We're all here on this Friday, the 20th of July, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and so we look back 49 years and go, man, landed on the moon for the first time. But also, tragic news out there as well. And this is this story about the duck boat in Missouri, in Table Rock Lake, right near Branson, Missouri. And it was last night when a weather front came through, and lots of rain and lots of wind and lots of lightning, and it was a storm that they all knew about. The weather was not, it wasn't a surprise. There were multiple storm warnings before it hit that Table Rock Lake. And it's a huge lake. I mean, it's not just like some little pond. It's a big, big, big lake. So the death toll is now 17. And how many children was it? I don't know. There were 9 people from one family. The family of 11 were apparently there, and 9 of them went out on that boat, and 9 of them died. They ranged from a 1-year-old baby to a 70-year-old person. The boat sank in 80 feet of water. We were up in Boston recently, and if you're ever in Boston, because Boston is a waterfront city, so they got lots of places, lots of harbor, and they've got lots of duck boat companies. And being from Seattle, whenever I go to Seattle, I see duck boats. But Boston seems that there's just a ton of them there, and they're all competing with each other. And I look at these things, and these are old landing craft. You know, the military, they were built for the military to assault craft for the landing troops on the beach. And Normandy-type stuff. And I don't know. I mean, I know they're boats, but they just don't. They just don't seem as safe to me as maybe, certainly not a catamaran, but I don't understand the huge, I don't get the attraction on why are these duck boat companies out there? What is it about duck boats that go out on a boat? You come to New York, we got tons of sightseeing boats. You can take helicopters, you can take boats. But they're boats. They're sightseeing boats, and they're low to the water. They got plenty of room. They got different decks. You can go upstairs. You can have a meal. You can have a drink. You can lovely, especially a night cruise around Manhattan in the summertime. It's really pretty because New York's all lit up, and you're out there in the water. So I get the attraction of going out on the water, but in a duck boat, I just don't understand it. Anyway, this boat carried 29 passengers and 2 crew members. They're on vacation. So, 2 are hospitalized in critical condition. They were hurt when the vessel went down. They're named duck boats because their ability to, you know, they drive around with wheels and then they go into the water. But they've been involved in other serious accidents as well. In fact, more than 40 people have died on duck boats since 1999. 5 college students were killed in Seattle just 3 years ago. A duck boat collided with a bus that was on the streets. 13 people died in 1999 when a boat sank near Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I know this is a Philadelphia law firm said duck boats are death traps. They're not fit for water or land because they are half car, half boat. Safety advocates have been seeking improvements and complained too many agencies regulate the boats with varying safety requirements. So I don't know what it is. I don't like them. I won't get on one. I don't feel they're I don't feel they're safe. I just do not. So the Weather Service issued a severe thunderstorm watch around the midday yesterday, followed by a warning at 6:32 p.m. Again about the severe thunderstorm, and it was almost there to Branson. That was about 40 minutes before the boat tipped over. At 7:02 p.m., both the weather watch, storm watch, severe thunderstorm watch, and a statement issued by the National Weather Service said there was a risk of 70 mile per hour winds. So why would they go out onto the water? What were they doing out there? What were they thinking? This is Renee Marsh with CNN explaining what happened.
To set the scene, take you back to how this all unfolded. It was Thursday evening. The Ride the Ducks tour boat, it capsized and it sank on Table Rock Lake. That's near Branson. And it was during the storm. I mean, you're looking at the video, just how choppy the water was there. People captured the moments as that boat was just rocking back and forth in the water. The winds were extremely strong and whipping this boat around. The area, we do know, was under a severe thunderstorm warning. It was issued shortly after 6:30 p.m. local time. That's about 30 minutes before the boat capsized. So the big question is, were they tracking that weather, and why did they go out there on that boat?
Yeah, why did they go out there? So she goes on to explain that the National Transportation Safety Board, NTSB, has warned people about the hazards of duck boats going back to 1999.
The NTSB has long warned about the dangers of these specific type of tour boats. It investigated a very similar incident back in 1999 in Arkansas, and in their final report, the NTSB said that the canopies on those boats, which this boat had the same sort of canopy, is a major, and I'm quoting, impediment to the survival of the passengers. So was that another contributing factor in this case as well? Why more people didn't get out alive? That will be all a part of this investigation.
Yeah, if you saw the video, I mean, the water was, it was heavy, heavy winds. But Jim Pattison Jr., who is the owner of the duck boat company, stupidest thing that you could possibly say. Well, when the boat went into the lake, the waters were calm, he said.
But my understanding was that when the boat went in the water, it was calm. And then partway through coming back is when everything, when the waves picked up and then obviously swamped the boat. People are supposed to be able to go out for an outing and have a good time, and it should never end this way.
Of course not. But why did you go into the water? When you had plenty of warning that a severe thunderstorm was heading your way. You had plenty of warning. I'm sorry, Mr. Pattison, but that was just a incredibly dumb statement to make. It would be like a pilot saying, well, when I took off, it was sunny. Yeah, but there's a big storm 100 miles down the road that you're heading for, or it's heading for you. So it was, but it was sunny when I took off. But I crashed a plane because I ran into the storm. That was when they went into the lake, the water was calm.
Well, by having
high
balance.
Do they not check the weather? So the governor of Missouri, Mike Parson, says he and the state will provide as much help in the recovery effort as they can.
We as a state will do everything within my powers to make sure that they all have the resources here they need to come to a conclusion on this incident and to finish with the investigation of this tragedy, that we know what the outcome of it was and what those results will be. But right now, our main focus, all of us should be, and across this country, should be our thoughts and our prayers should be with the members that have been involved, the family members that are out there, the family members that are in the hospital, and for the families to get here safely to be reunited with some of their members that are here. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to the sheriff to let him answer some more questions. But the main thing I wanted to say this morning, the state of Missouri is going to do everything within our powers to make sure that we provide the resources needed to complete this. And two, that I ask for all Missourians for their thoughts and their prayers for the families and victims of this incident.
Well, I can't help but think about the fact that 17 were killed. Where else 17 were killed? Let me think. Where did I see that before? Oh, yeah, that was that high school in Broward County. 17 young people were gunned down. 17. So why is it that we stop dead in our tracks? That's probably a bad term. Why is it that we all do backflips when there's a school shooting that 17 people die, but everybody's looking at this and going, oh, 17 people die, and we're going to do everything in our power, and the most important part is our thoughts and prayers. I got to tell you something. When you drown out in the middle of the lake or you get gunned down in a high school hallway, you aren't expecting either one of them, and the thoughts and prayers don't help at that point. I get so tired of this, our thoughts and prayers. Well, let me begin by saying our thoughts and prayers are, give me a break. This is the sheriff, Doug Radar is his name, says that numerous Good Samaritans and off-duty police jumped in the water to help save people.
I had a Stone County deputy that was on the Branson Bell doing off-duty security. He was involved in the rescue. There was employees of the Branson Bell that jumped in and helped with rescue. And there was even passengers that was getting on the Branson Bell assisted in rescuing people.
Yeah, but 17 died and two are in critical condition. I don't know about the others. There was 29 altogether on the boat, plus two crew. So I don't know what you make of this. I find it interesting that we, I'm just talking about the way we as a society react when 17 people die in a boat versus 17 people that die in a hallway of a school. Neither one thought it would happen to them. This is a bunch of people that were out having a nice vacation in Branson, Missouri, and went out on a tour boat ride. And one family is planning 9 funerals. Wow. 855-295-6600. We'll be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
Well, I find it... Sorry, but I do find it curious why we react to 17 people that died tragically in a totally different way than when somebody dies in a high school hallway. Nobody expected it. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Eddie in Saginaw, Michigan. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. I'm a little upset that you keep calling it a boat. It's not a boat. It's an amphibious vehicle. So it doesn't have the stability of a boat.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And
yeah.
You have to have specialized training.
My boat lingo isn't up to par, so forgive me.
Well, another thing, you have to have specialized training to run those things. I mean, it started out as a military vehicle, and you can't drive it like a car. You can't drive it like a boat. You have to know what you're doing. I think that's part of the problem, and you have a lot of people that think because it is an ex-military vehicle that it's automatically built tank tough and it's strong and safe and all that, and basically people who don't know what they're doing, the operators and the people that ride them.
Well, apparently the guy that was driving the boat died, but the captain survived, according to reports out of Branson. So I wouldn't know what to do, and I take you at your word. It's got to be something you've got to be specially trained in, because maybe that's what it is, Eddie. I don't have the lingo down, but I'm looking at him, And I see them driving around the streets of Boston, and I go, they don't look like they're that safe out there. And they've been criticized a lot. They were made for landing troops on a beach, period.
Exactly.
In the story.
Exactly.
Not a fun little tour thing. I'd rather go on a nice boat. I mean, they don't look nice. They look weird to me. So
yeah, they do. Well, they're a piece of military equipment. What the problem is, and I've never been on one. I'm not an expert on it or anything. Don't get me wrong, but I'm pretty sure that these canopies they're talking about never came on them when the Army had them.
I don't remember seeing the guys hitting the beaches in Normandy with little canopies on top of their landing craft.
No, yeah, I don't think they were worried about the sun.
No.
On the soldiers.
Yeah. Well, good points. Eddie, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Ed in Carson City, Nevada. Hello, Ed.
Yes, Tom. Yes, complete negligence, and not only that, but this person, amongst his peers, as other skippers, with however large or small this company was, they had to have known how this guy operated. He was. I have a commercial pilot's license. I have a commercial driver's license, 18-wheelers, buses, everything else. The only thing I do not have is for boating, but, hey, with all my navigational skills, and I've raced sailboats around Crystal Bay Yacht Club, sailboats around Hawaii and so on and so forth. I'm also a member of the Coast Guard
Auxiliary. Well, okay, all right. So when you go into the water or you're taking off from an airport, don't you check the weather first? Isn't that kind of the first thing everybody does?
Well, you're absolutely right. And actually, in the test, over and over, they drill it into you for flying. Whether you're a private pilot or a commercial pilot like me, they drill it all the way through. There's no mistake. You are required to know conditions prior to and during the event, flying, and know everything accordingly, including maintenance logs. It goes deep.
Sure.
And as far as what's been done to the vehicle or the boat in this case, and everything applicable to how this boat floats, tonnage. There's also a tonnage rating. The other gentleman, he was talking about how this thing's amphibious. Well, that doesn't let him off the hook. I mean, this guy is supposed to know every aspect of that boat in order to be a skipper, especially commercial regs are explicit in that area. So this guy I had to say, but the company is completely negligent. They had to know
guy's I think so, too. Yeah. For letting him go into the water when a storm was coming, a big storm, severe thunderstorm warning with high winds coming, and they went off. And the owner of the company says, but the water was calm when they went in. You go, gee, many Christmas. But like Ed said, who called before you, or Eddie in Michigan, this was designed for a specific purpose and wasn't being used for that.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. Thank you, and welcome to this Friday afternoon. So a little bit of Financial Friday. I've done an awful lot on this program about trade and trade tariffs and all of that sort of stuff. So I mentioned earlier CNBC, Joe Kiernan, who is the morning guy, got a sit-down with the president yesterday afternoon. And so Joe went to the White House, and being CNBC, he was asking him about a lot of financial things. And one of the things that came out yesterday was the fact that the president is criticizing the Federal Reserve. Oh, no, the independent Federal Reserve, saying in a tweet that its efforts to raise short-term interest rates is hurting U.S. economic expansion. And he accused China and the European Union of manipulating their currencies to hurt U.S. companies trading overseas. So The president has now threatened tariffs on every single item that comes from China. Everything. $500 billion. All of it. That's the threat. So this business about threatening the Federal Reserve, saying how upset he is. Well, listen to him say it to Joe Kieran this morning on CNBC.
I put a very good man in the Fed. I don't necessarily agree with it because he's raising interest rates. I'm not saying that I agree with it, and I don't necessarily agree with it. I must tell you, I don't. I'm not thrilled because, you know, we go up, and every time you go up, they want to raise rates again. And I don't really, I am not happy about it. But at the same time, I'm letting them do what they feel is best. But I don't like all of this work that goes into doing what we're doing. You look at the euro, you look at what's going on with the EU, and they're not doing what we're doing, and we already have somewhat of a disadvantage, although I'm turning that into an advantage. You know, last year, and for years, we've been losing $150 billion with the EU nations, with the European Union. And they're making money easy, and their currency is falling. And China, their currency is dropping like a rock, and our currency is going up. And I have to tell you, it puts us at a disadvantage. Now, I'm just saying the same thing that I would have said as a private citizen. So somebody would say, oh, maybe you shouldn't say that as a president. I couldn't care less what they say, because my views haven't changed. I don't like all of this work that we're putting into the economy, and then I see rates going up.
So, he heard the criticism. Oh, you should hear in the financial world the people holding their hearts going, how dare he criticize the Fed? It's an independent institution, the Federal Reserve Bank system, the banks. I mean, what is he doing this? Well, Alan Blinder, who is, I believe he's still at Princeton, he served in Washington on a number of national economic councils. He said the president commenting on the Fed, oh, come on, it's not a concern.
Well, by Trumpian standards, it's not a big deal. If any other president said anything like that in this day and age, it would be a big deal. But I'm listening to the words. He's not thrilled with it. You know, with Trump, everything is always two extremes. It's horrible, it's great, or something like that. The key thing to me, and I think it should be the key thing to the markets, is whether there's follow-on this, or this turns out to be a one-off, off-the-cuff remark. And when he got off camera with Joe, his Secretary of the Treasury or his CEA chief says, you know, it's not such a great idea to browbeat the Fed up. He's not very good at taking advice, so I don't know what's gonna be the next step. But if it stops here, I think it's gonna be a ripple in the pond. If
I'm a little surprised. Adam Blinder, first of all, very smart guy, very smart economist, but at the same time, so he says it's no big deal, and by the way, it's just Trump talking, and that's the way Trump talks. But it's more than that. If you go back. Oh, my gosh, I can remember a number of presidents, George H.W. Bush, screaming bloody murder about the fact that the Fed was raising interest rates while he was running for election, re-election. And he said, you're ruining the economy, you're ruining my re-election. I mean, Lyndon Johnson used to beat up the Fed all the time. Richard Nixon. I can go down a long list of presidents that have yelled about the Fed because presidents don't want interest rates going higher because that means you and me, our costs go up. But what they're trying to do by raising interest rates is nip in the bud inflation that's starting to build so that prices don't get way ahead of us. They're doing the right thing by raising interest rates. That's how they control monetary policy. So, Donald Trump, come on. The fact that he complained about the Fed is he's got to get in a long line of presidents that have done much worse than him complaining about the fact that, well, I'm not real happy about it. Of course not. But let me tell you what also is happening is that as the president complains about the Fed and about a more $500 billion worth of products that will have tariffs put on them. Guess what? And the president was right. He's going, hey, China's currency is going down. The European Union currency is going down. You know what that means? That means that their buying power, if you're a Chinese citizen or a Union citizen, or currency, when your is no big product made in America, it's going to cost you a lot more because your currency is worth less than the U.S. dollar. So it means if you are an international business and you're selling products to Europeans and to Chinese, they're not going to buy as much of your product. So it's going to hurt multinational corporations here in the U.S. trying to do business around the world. Our dollar went up. The European Union went down. The Chinese yuan went down. All because of the fact, the threats of all these tariffs. So the president is complaining about the Fed, but his complaints and threatening tariffs is causing the currencies to go down versus the dollar, and the dollar to go up. So it's all one big, I don't know. I mean, I know he knows this. I know he knows this, but the idea that people are complaining that he's complaining about the Fed, I think is very disingenuous. President Trump's not doing anything different than almost every president in modern history has done. So here's a little back and forth on this whole business about tariffs with Joe Kernan.
We're down $375 billion, but other estimates could say $507. It doesn't matter. So it's in between there or it's there. We're down a tremendous amount. I raised 50, and they matched us. I said, you don't match us. You can't match us, because otherwise we're always going to be behind
would
the eight
ball. Would you ever get to 500, though?
I'm ready to go to 500.
With the midterms on the horizon, what's the stock market?
If it does, it does. Look, I'm not doing this for
20%?
Politics. I'm doing this to do the right thing for our country. We have been ripped off by China for a long time.
Yeah. And we have. There's no question about it. But as every time we do a show on trade and tariffs and all of that, I support the president, but I don't know where this is going. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know where the casualties will be in this country. I don't know who's going to lose their job in this country, but there will be job losses. There are already job losses in this country from this. But the Chinese, The financial press is basically reporting the Chinese are getting very, very, very nervous because they're not in good shape. Their economy is having problems, and their economy is slowing down, and this is very bad for the Chinese. So I expect we will win this. But when the president yells about tariffs, our dollar is going to go up every single time. And he doesn't like that either. We'll be right back.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
So what the president says, people listen to, and he doesn't like the fact that the Fed is raising interest rates. And a lot of Fed watchers are going, Jerome Powell, he's kind of one of those guys in the Fed that if you bark at him about not raising rates, they might be inclined, if it's a close call, to raise them just so that they basically, you know, put their stake in the ground about the fact that they are independent. They are not an agency of the United States government, and they are not to be told what to do, even by the president. But President Trump says he would have said the same thing when he was a private citizen, as he does today. And a lot of presidents have done the same thing. They complain about the Fed when they raise interest rates. When they lower them, no complaint whatsoever. But it also impacts, the more he talks about tariffs, there will be an impact on the U.S. dollar. The dollar will go up as he lays out all these ideas. And as you heard him talk to Joe Kernan, that this is going to be He's talking about $500 billion. I don't know if they're going to go there. And nobody knows what the damages will be, but because there's always damage in a war. But it is looking more. I don't think this will last very long, and I really do think that China, you give them some sort of face-saving, they are, I think, blinking already. We will win this. And it's about time that somebody pushed back. Here's the president saying that the reason we have the trade deficit with China is because of past presidents letting China put all the tariffs on the U.S.
One of the great people of China said there was never anybody to talk to in the United States. We would put on a trade barrier where you couldn't sell cars or you couldn't sell beef or you couldn't sell your farm products. We would put on, nobody would talk to us in the United States. So we said, hey, that's great. Then we'd put on another one. We'd put on a tariff on cars, 25%, and you charge us virtually nothing, 2.5%, but they don't pay it. So we would do this and nobody would talk. We'd start off at a lower number, we'd raise it. Nobody would ever complain until you came along, me. And they said, now you're doing more than complaining. We don't like what you're doing. You know, they think I'm doing maybe too much, but of course they're going to think that. But for many years, and I'm not just saying Obama, I'm saying Bush, and I'm saying long before, they had nobody. And it's very interesting because I actually asked them the question. So we're down 507 recently. We're down $507 billion in trade deficits. How did it happen? And they told me nobody ever complained. Nobody ever talked to us.
Very interesting. And I believe that. And I know that he loves to brag and about the fact that he's the guy to solve it. But he's the only one truly in my lifetime that has actually stood up and pushed back. And I don't doubt his story about the fact that the Chinese and the Europeans would put a tariff on and we would do nothing. We would not complain. And they'd do another one and we would not complain. And so it went. Over decades, nobody stood up and pushed back. I mean, maybe people underestimated where China especially was going. And I think a lot of American presidents have looked their nose down at European countries because we have a much higher level of standard of living. We're much more economically powerful. And so, okay, so they put a tariff on us. Oh, who cares? In China, whether that... They're that backward country over there that Richard Nixon opened up back in the 70s, and you know they're making goofy little products. They're not any threat. I think we went to sleep, and just assumed that China was no big threat, and that the European countries were small potatoes. So we didn't pay attention to what they were doing, and now you wake up and you find all these tariffs on all of our products and all of these jobs that have left the United States. So. This is one area. Call me a Trumpster, whatever you want to call me. I really think it's about time that he's doing this. And this is really kind of more in his wheelhouse than, I think, nuclear proliferation deals. I think Donald Trump, this is a business deal. Well, back to the president. He was telling the audience on CNBC that Russia took advantage of Barack Obama, and that has never happened under his watch.
I have been far tougher on Russia than any president in many, many years, maybe ever. Even the big fight I have with Germany over the fact that they're taking natural gas, they're taking energy from Russia, paying them billions of dollars. I said, wait a minute, we're supposed to be protecting you from Russia, and you're paying them billions of dollars. What's that all about? Now, do you think that's a positive for Russia? I'm talking them out of things that they were giving billions of dollars. It's ridiculous, by the way, that that's happening. And then on top of that, Germany pays a fraction of what they should be paying for defense. We're supposed to defend them. So they're paying Russia, and we're supposed to defend them from Russia. Look at the sanctions I've put on. Look at the diplomats I threw out. Look at all of the things that I've done. Nobody else did what I've done. Obama didn't do it. Obama was a patsy for Russia. He was a total patsy. Look at the statement he made where he thought the mics were turned off, okay? The stupid statement he made. Nobody does a big deal about that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is one of those where, yeah, I think we've been taken advantage of. I just don't know if President Trump, he's saying the right things. He's telling Germany, knock it off, quit giving fresh cash to Russia. We're supporting you to defend you against Russia. You're giving them money. I don't think Germany's going to change. So he's giving them the wagging of the finger, but I don't think Europe's going to change. I don't think Germany's going to change. I don't think China's going to change unless you force them, unless you really pressure them. And that's what he's doing. All right, one man comment line band, one man blowing two horns. That's all we can afford today. We put a tariff on his horns, and the market was down 6 whole points today at 25,058. S&P down 2, NASDAQ down 5, so not much going on with the markets on this Friday. Oil up to $70, and the price of gold up to $1,231. And an obituary to tell you about. Adrian Cranauer died last night at the age of 79. You go, who is Adrian Cranauer? The former DJ died in Troutville, Virginia. He's best remembered for contributing to the film script about his life. He was depicted by Robin Williams in the 1987 movie Good Morning Vietnam. Adrian Cranauer was the DJ that yelled out Good Morning Vietnam to so many troops in Vietnam. Let's listen to a little bit of the trailer.
Good morning, Vietnam! Ah! I feel good. Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ.
It's 0600. What's the O stand for?
Oh, my God.
It's Mr. Leo.
You know, this whole camouflage thing for me doesn't work very well. Why is that? Well, because you go in the jungle, I can't see you. If you're going to fight, clash.
That is not what we program here.
Surprise! Surprise!